You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We're down to the second installment of our series called Church. We started this last week. And the goal of this series is basically for us to know the distinguishing marks of what made the first church, the early church, as the church. We want to live as the proper church here today. We need to look at what the Bible has to say about what it means to be a church. And we're doing this by looking into the book of Acts, because it tells the story basically of how the church started. Let's say mangukay ka and you found a Louis Vuitton bag. What's your reaction nimo? How would you know if tinood ng a bag? How would you know if legit siya or if sakto siya? You would have to find certain marks, certain parts of bag that tells you that at tinood ng a bag siya. The same thing with the church. If we want to be the right kind of church that God has called us to be, we need to follow those distinguishing marks exemplified by the first church. And the first of those last week na learn nato was devotion. The first church was devoted to a great many things: the apostles' teaching, the breaking of the bread, and fellowship, and through prayer as well. And for this week, we're going to talk about service. If you think that service is just reserved for restaurants, hotels, or kung online shopping, service is also a mark that has to be exemplified in the local church. And for that, can you read your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. This will be our main text for today. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Verse 7, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." A bit of background, we're in Acts chapter 6. So if you remember last week when we started this series, we were looking into the start basically of the church. Peter went out, started preaching, and over 3,000 people were added. Basically, kato ang starts sa church. Now, sometime later in Acts chapter 6, it starts with this part of the verse. It says here, "Now, in these days when disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews." The first part there says that they were still increasing in number. If you remember, the church started with the 120 remaining disciples, Peter preaching to this huge crowd, and suddenly 3,000 people were added to their number. Parang naging mega church sila in one day. Then after that, in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it didn't stop there. The growth kept on happening. It says here, "Many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. And in Acts chapter 5 naman, it says here, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." So just a chapter before this, it increased naman ang growth sa church. The church was growing. It wasn't just a handful lang. It wasn't just 3,000. But around this time, nasa mga 10,000 na sila. They were increasing. But with this church growth, brought about growth pains. And one of them was this statement. It says here that a complaint rose by the Hellenists against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The word Hellenists there talks about Greek-speaking Jewish people. They are Jewish people, meaning prior sa mga Jewish people born in Jerusalem, but they grew up or were born or raised in the Greek territories. Greek-speaking sila. Medyo na difference in culture sila. But they were still Jewish people. But there was this complaint that rose from them. And it says here, and the word complaint there is the same word used when the Israelites were complaining against Moses. The Israelites nag-travel sila from Egypt to the promised land. And throughout that time, that 40-year journey, they would complain time and again to Moses and to God, thinking na, nahi pa na, matay na lang mi sa Egypt. At least na may pagkaon sa Egypt. That kind of complaining. And here, the Hellenists were complaining because they felt like their widows were being neglected sa daily distribution. It was a napakaon sa food distribution. Let's expound the context of the complaint or the scenario. Because we might think na, ah, gawa is like pagkaon. Pagka-shallow naman sa early church. Just fighting over food. Now, for us to grasp the gravity of the situation, first and foremost, we need to understand the situation of a widow in their time and culture. Unlike now, kung widow ka, you can still earn, you can still work, you can still have SSS or pension if you're an older widow na. In their time, in their culture, kung widow ka, you virtually have no means to earn money. Because only the men would work during their time. You're basically left alone. If no one would take care of you, you will be left alone. In other words, kawawa kayo ka. So that is why the Jewish people actually did certain things, even before they became Christians. They had certain practices to help the poor, the needy, and including the widows. Acts 2 verse 45, we've talked about this last week, tells of one thing the church was doing as well, that they would sell their possessions, and the proceeds, they would distribute it to those who were in need. And that would have included all sorts of people in a part of the church, regardless of background. But these Hellenists felt like their widows were not getting those distribution, especially the food distribution. So in other words, if left unchecked, what we have here is a potential church split between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. If the apostles wouldn't do anything, what we would have here is possibly the first church split. But good thing, the apostles address the issue. It says here in Acts 6 verse 2, the 12 summoned the full number. Everyone, the thousands, in a general meeting sila. They summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables, or in some translations, to do a feeding program. Now you might think, ano gingon sa apostles ni? How could Peter and some of the apostles say nga, we cannot serve them, we cannot serve tables? Parang medyo na pagka entitled kay paminawon. Does it mean ba that they can't do the dirty jobs of helping these poor widows, of feeding them, of taking care of them? What's the point of saying this statement? It's not right for us that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. What does this mean? How can we live a lifestyle of service as the church if the apostles said these things? Now, to give context to what they were saying, basically, the apostles, they observed that it is not appropriate for them to neglect the preaching of the word to take up this problem directly and serve tables. They're not saying that dili importante mo take care sa widows. Importante ni. Big issue ni. They're growing, and if left unchecked, it would cause division among them. They know that. Then they murmuring nagitabo. They needed to address it. But they can't do it themselves lang. Okay, bato natin kita-kita lang aning. Because remember, there are thousands of them. By this time, they're around 8,000 plus or maybe 10,000 na. And how many widows na siguro na? Let's say, assuming mga 1,000 widows na diha. And there are only a handful of them apostles. And they need to preach the word of God still. There's only so much that they could do. In other words, they knew that they should do what God called them to do. They should focus on what God called them to do. It doesn't mean that they're importante tong need, but they know that they have certain responsibilities. What we have here is a matter of priorities. It's not wrong to help the widows, to take care of them as people, meaning there's a need for service there. But the apostles, they know na muna yung focus nato, muna kailangan buhaton nato. It's kind of like if you were tasked to do chores, pinaka-hate ninyo magus plato. Dili mang limpyog balay. Don't like cleaning or washing the dishes because feeling ninyo unlimited, magsig balik-balik. Now imagine if you were tasked to clean the dishes, your parents told you, nak, pakilimpyo sa dishes, but then mulakaw yung parents. When they came back, nak, kumusta ang balay? Okay lang ma, nakalimpyo ko sa house. Nanilhig, nag-vacuum, mag-wipe sa wall, and all that, nag-arrange. Everything is well ma. Okay, sige, rest na diha, magluto ko. And when your mother went to the kitchen, when she went to the sink and all that, it's exactly the same as it was left. Your mother would ask, ngano man ni nalimpyo? Kay nalimpyo man ko ma. Of course, your parents would probably tell you, that's not what I told you to do. I asked you to wash the dishes. Even if you clean the living room, but you missed out what you were told to do. This was the instruction. This is what you were supposed to accomplish. The same thing with the apostles. I'm sharing this simple illustration because the apostles, they were tasked by Jesus to do certain things. Firstly, Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20 says here that they were tasked to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. They were tasked to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is Jesus telling his apostles. In other words, they are to keep teaching, preaching the word of God. They are to keep doing these things. Muna yung focus nila and prayer as well. They are to do these things. But they knew for a fact na importante ning mag-take care sa widows. So they had the dilemma, either they would do all of these things by themselves and musuffer ang quality sa preaching sa word ni God, or they have to do something else. And basically what they thought of in Acts chapter 6 verse 3, it says here, they said, "Therefore, brothers, pick up from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to a duty." Their solution was simply to empower people to serve the needs of the community. They know their focus, so they would appoint certain leaders, certain people to serve the growing needs of the community. You see, growth pains are opportunities for service. Whenever there's a growth pain that's brought about by growth in the church, it's an opportunity for service. And this is just one example. You see, the response of the church reflects the understanding of the centrality of the ministry of the word, the importance of the word, and prayer without neglecting the practical needs of the community. Preaching of the word is important because for the apostles, for the early church, they didn't have Bibles yet. They couldn't go to a Christian bookstore and buy Bibles. They couldn't just download a free Bible app. Wala pa. If they needed to hear the word of God, if they needed to devote to the apostles' teaching, the only way, their only resource was to listen to the apostles, was for the apostles to preach. So if naimug hinder sa apostles in preaching, in teaching the word of God, then those people would suffer. Those people, the church, would not be able to learn more about the word of God. That's why the apostles knew nga, kailangan mag-focus tayo. Acts 6 verse 4 says, "We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They couldn't let this go. They couldn't neglect this. Importante ni. Because only they could do it at this point. At this time. Sila lang makabuhat ani. They were still yet raising more leaders. The fundamental and central aspect of the church is the proclamation of the gospel. The church started because Peter went out and preached to multitudes and 3,000 were added to the church. And that has been the pattern. And in fact, the enemy, if you look at a few chapters before this, in Acts chapter 5, you'd see the enemy trying to hinder the apostles from preaching because every time they would preach, thousands, multitudes would be added to the church. So the enemy has tried many things to hinder the apostles from preaching the word of God. Firstly is persecution. Sina Peter, sina John, and all the other apostles, when they would go to the temple, when they would go to certain places and preach the gospel, at one point they were captured, at one point they were put in prison, they were beaten up, they were scolded not to tell about Jesus to people. And yet they kept on doing so. Even with the threat of their lives, they would still do it. Then there was the deception of Ananias and Sapphira. There's two people who tried to steal from the daily distribution or the collection of the tithes. Then there was this potential division, this storm right now with the church. The enemy is trying to do anything and everything to stop them, to hinder them from preaching the word of God. Good thing, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, they're able to address both issues. That they can preach the word of God still and help the community. And here's the thing, Acts chapter 6 verse 5 says, "What they said pleased the whole gathering." People are like, yes, we can still listen to the apostles' teaching and dili man left out ang needs sa widows nato. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. And these are all Greek names, by the way. Meaning, probably, these 7 people are Hellenists as well. Mga Greek-speaking Jews. They who had the burden for their widows, for their countrymen. Sila nga nagka-burden. Sila nga ganun mo, helps lang widows. They were chosen to help serve these widows, to take care of the matter, to give food to them. Nga dili sila mabiyaan. And this pleased the whole gathering. In Acts 6 verse 6, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And here's the interesting thing. After the conflict, the problem, the need for service, after delegating and empowering certain people to handle the problem, this is the result of that. It says here in Acts 6 verse 7, "And the word of God continued to increase." Because someone else stood in the gap and served the needs of the community, the apostles could preach, could focus, could devote on prayer and ministry of the word. So the word of God continued to increase pa. More people heard the gospel. And because more people heard the gospel, what happened? The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. May testimony pa. A great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. When we talk about priests here, we're talking about people who are working in the temple. Because what Peter and some of the apostles would do is that they would gather in the temple. This is the place where the Jewish people would worship God, would offer sacrifices to God. And Peter knew na strategic ning lugar, daghang people mani diri. And eventually, not just mga ordinary Jewish people became followers of Christ. And it's all because the word of God was continually preached. And secondly, wala na neglect ang needs of community. Those widows were still taken care of and all other needs were taken care of as well. There's an interesting word in this verse, and that is the word multiplied. Verses before this, chapters before this, every time the word is preached, the word is added after that. But here, says here, the disciples multiplied greatly. It's not even addition na. Nag-multiply, grabe ang growth nila. If preaching brought about addition of believers, preaching plus service brought about multiplication. In other words, service, church, is important. Service is crucial. Think about your heart for a moment. We all have a heart. What's the one job that your heart has to do? To pump blood throughout your body. Now imagine if your heart, if nakabas siyang gibuhat, mag-digest pa siya, mag-pump pa siya oxygen, mag-filter pa siya toxins sa body nimo and all that. It wouldn't be efficient. For sure, dili niya ma-pump as much blood as it would be able to. But because all the heart has to do is just pump blood again and again and again, maka-focus siya, it's able to do its job well. And I'm sharing this because when it comes to the preaching of the word, the same thing with the early church. With us today, service is important because whenever people serve, it enables the word of God all the more to be preached. Our pastors, our full-time ministers, mas makadevote like time to study the word, to preach the word on a given Sunday. In fact, we want to thank our volunteers for making all of this happen. Now, I'm sharing all of these things because the same way with the first church, service is important. If a church exemplifies a lifestyle of service, all the more people are reached out, all the more the word of God is preached, the disciples will multiply in number. Service is very important. Now you might ask, what does this mean for us today as people part of the church? What can we apply from the first church, from the early church when it comes to service? Firstly, understand that we are called to serve. We love the feeling when people serve us. But what about serving other people? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says here, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The Bible says we are to use our gifts to serve others. The point is, all of us have giftings, talents, and skills. Here's the thing, God wants us to use our giftings, talents, and skills by serving others. May point tong ginatagtag ni God og talents and skills. It's not just to brag to people. It's to be used to be a blessing to other people. If you're still wondering, why should I use my giftings to help people? Mark 10 verse 40 to 45 gives us basically the best reason for us to serve. It says here, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why do we serve or why should we serve? We serve because Jesus served. You and I are here today as recipients of the greatest act of service. Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins. He didn't need to do that. All the pain, all the cost was on him. And we got all the benefit. We are the recipients of the greatest act of service. Jesus served by dying on the cross, by offering his life as a ransom for many, you and me included. Also, that our sins may be forgiven, our relationship with God restored, so we can have a new life. Think about that. Jesus served us before we could ever serve anyone or him for that matter. So if we claim that we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be more Christ-like, if we claim that Christiano ko, God go to be just like Jesus, guess what? The person that we claim to follow was a humble servant. He had every right to demand people to serve him as he is God himself, but he says here, he came to serve. If wala ka settled sa heart nimo, if you don't want to serve people, if you find it hard to humbly serve others, to take care of other people, to put the needs of others before your own, to have compassion for others, if that's difficult for you, let this sink in that Jesus died on the cross for you, that Jesus served you even when you didn't deserve it. Jesus died on the cross for us. And that being said, second thing we can learn is that we serve Christ by serving each other, by helping out one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. When it says interest, not just for the cares or concerns or problems of other people, or not just your own problems, but even those including other people. Basically, the Bible says, take care of one another. If you look at the early church, grabe ang unity nila. In the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, several verses talks about the church as one body. And if you know your body, you know that if one part of your body is in pain or is sick, the whole body suffers. Kung magkasakit ka sa ulo ni mo, di man may ang hands or ang feet, wala may pakialam na. Okay ra, okay, bahalag, maunsa ang head, basta okay ra ang hand. But no, if one part of the body is greatly injured, the whole body suffers. The same thing with us church. As a community of believers, we are to take care of each other. We are to serve one another. Much like in the first church, when there was a problem with those widows, the apostles didn't neglect them. They figured out a solution to help those in need by empowering those 7 people. And the same thing with us today in the modern times. We can do things to help out and serve one another. What are your skills, abilities, resources, relationships, or connections? What do you have? You don't need to wait until may mo kang milyonaryo to help people, to help out sa community. One of them was through donating blood to help those in need of blood. What other resources do you have? We've done medical missions. Yes, we've done a feeding program at certain place. There's even this victory group in the church. They are doing discipleship to a certain group of people. Some of our women leaders are discipling former prostitutes or children of former prostitutes. And they're helping these people to have a new life, to start a new life, to have a different path in life so that humana na ang old life nila. That's just one of the things that you can do. Again, we don't have to wait until maka-establish a foundation para maka-help tag people. But rather, even with what we have, we can help out other people. We can serve others. You don't have to wait until billionaire na mo. What do you have with you, church, that you can be a blessing to other people? Last but not the least, as we talk about service, why we need to exemplify service, we grow as we serve. If you want to experience spiritual breakthroughs, more testimonies, a great way is through service. Acts 6 verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." It talks about this one person that's doing amazing things among people, si Stephen. Now, if you were paying closely a while ago, si Stephen was actually one of the people that was chosen by the disciples to take care of the widows. It says here, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, along with all the other people, including all those other 6 people. See, Philip started out by simply serving, by volunteering, by helping out the needs of the widows. And for sure, he did several things, other things. He served in different ways. And because of that, nag-breakthrough siya. It says here, he was doing many wonders, many great signs among the people. He was doing a bunch of great things. And eventually, this Stephen, this same guy who was doing great things, would become one of the first martyrs of the faith. In one of the times that he would preach the word of God, he would preach the gospel, he would be stoned to death for his faith. And that wouldn't have happened probably. He wouldn't be in that path doing all those great things, including dying for Jesus, if he didn't start out with simply serving, doing a simple task of feeding widows. My simple point in sharing this is that if we want to experience breakthroughs, if we want to experience many testimonies, a great way is through service. Will you set your needs before others? I'm not saying na dili importante yung needs na to. Importante. I'm pretty sure some of us have important needs, grave concerns. But far from it that we would feel like, wala ko time sa other people to. But no. God wants us to take care with one another. In fact, the Bible says that one of the marks of being a true believer of Christ is how much we love His people. How much compassion we're willing to show to other people. My simple encouragement for all of us is to serve. Learn to serve. Don't be afraid to serve. Be humble enough to serve. And enjoy serving. Because when you serve others, you're actually serving Christ. And as you serve others, you grow spiritually. You grow more in your understanding of Christ. You become more like Christ actually because Christ served us. We serve because Jesus served.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.